Now, you ready? Here we go. The word for today. Sometimes it's good to have a word for the day. You ready? You want to write this down. The word for this day, June 9th, 2013. You're ready for it, right? Is it up there yet? Here it comes. Watch. The word for today. Mathetes. Mathetes. Got it? Mathetes. You can say it. It's okay. Mathetes. Okay? I suspect that you are unfamiliar with it. Anybody familiar with the word mathetes? Okay, that is because it is a Greek word and not an English one. And it just so happens that Jesus uses that word over and over again in the passage of Scripture, which was read in your hearing just a moment ago. As I said, it's a Greek word, it's a noun, and it is almost always translated with the English word disciple. A mathetes is a disciple. Now, I need to make a little distinction here because we sometimes get confused. We sometimes talk about the 12 disciples. No, there are 12 apostles. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know those guys? Okay, you remember them? They were the apostles. Okay, Jesus has many disciples, but only those 12 apostles. You with me? Understand? So when we talk about disciples, we're not talking about those guys who hung out with Jesus while he was here. We're talking about disciples, the disciples of Jesus Christ. Our Lord commanded the church to make disciples. It is the business that we are in here at Cornerstone. Our job is to take somebody who doesn't know Jesus Christ and not simply turn them into a believer, but turn them into a disciple. Now, in saying that, I also made a distinction between believers and disciples. I'm going to make this real clear as we work through this word today and through the passage of Scripture that was set before you. There is a distinction between believers and disciples. All disciples are believers, but not all believers are disciples. You hang with me now, I'll show you. Okay, technically, a disciple, a mathetes, defined by the Greek language, is a learner or a pupil. Okay, but it is not just any learner or pupil. It is a learner or pupil who learns by deliberately, and I want to emphasize the word deliberately, deliberately following the example of his teacher. Okay, now, there's several steps involved here. Okay, becoming a disciple is, first of all, an intellectual process. It is a matter of the will, not a matter of the emotion. You must decide with your head that what you want to be is a disciple, if you want to be one. Okay, it takes, the first step is intellectual. You have to make a choice, a determined, deliberate choice. You're not getting it. See, we love Jesus, right? Okay? Probably all of us here would say we love Jesus. Okay? Love is an emotional thing. It is an emotional response to being loved. We love Jesus because he first loved us. Remember that? Okay? To be his disciple takes us further than that. We have to decide that because we love Jesus, we want to be a learner who learns by following the example of the Master. Being a disciple starts with an intellectual choice, a decision, and it always resolves in changed behavior. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey me." And a disciple is a believer who has reached the intellectual place where they have resolved to obey Jesus Christ as Master no matter what it cost. So, the word for today is mathetes, disciple. And the question of the day is, are you one? See, some people want just enough Jesus to get them into heaven. I remember once when I was younger, I think I was in seminary, maybe in college. My Uncle Jim died. And my Aunt Ann, his wife, was just delighted with the preacher that she had to do his service. Until the preacher stood up to preach. And he reached in his jacket pocket and he pulled out what looked like an insurance policy. And he said, "Uncle Jim is in heaven because he bought the Jesus insurance policy." Okay, now you have to know my Aunt Ann. She's my feisty aunt, okay? And she was ticked, okay? Because she never thought of Jesus as an insurance policy before. But what the pastor was saying is true. Some people just want an insurance policy against hell. They just want enough Jesus to get him into heaven. Honestly, you may be one. You may be sitting here today saying, "I don't want all this discipleship stuff. All I want is enough Jesus to get me into heaven." And I have to confess to you, because I have read the scripture from beginning to end, that even though I don't like it, I do believe those who buy Jesus as an insurance policy against hell will get into heaven. He says, if you believe, all it takes is belief. You can get into heaven by the skin of your teeth if you accept Jesus Christ as your insurance policy against heaven. I think you can. Okay, Lois wants to argue with me, I can tell. But I think you can. Okay? But what I want you to know is such people as that are not disciples. Disciples are those who are resolved, intellectually, deliberately determined to follow Jesus' example because they love him with all of their heart, with all of their mind, with all of their body, and with all of their soul. So the question today is this: are you a believer, or are you in truth a disciple of Jesus Christ? Now, in the passage of scripture that Rick read to you from the Bible just a moment ago, Jesus lays out the cost of being a disciple. It cost to resolve to follow Jesus. Salvation is free, but to become a disciple will cost you something. And Jesus lays it out. You ready? If you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, number one in your life must be Jesus. If you would be Jesus' disciple, Jesus himself says, you must love him more than you love the members of your own family. Your loyalty to Christ, if you would be a disciple, must be above your love for your mother. It must be above your love for your father. It must surpass your love for your sons and your daughters, for your brothers and sisters, even for your husband or your wife. If it comes to a choice between doing what honors God or being where your family is, disciples will pick what honors God. The disciple always shows others the right priorities, because in the disciple's life, God is first. The fact is that a disciple puts God's honor so high that he loves the honor of God more than he loves his own life. A disciple loves God above himself. Nothing is more important in a disciple's life than Jesus. Number one in your life is Jesus, if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. To be real honest with you, I'm sorry I have to tell you these things. Okay? I resolved to preach the Gospel of Luke, and here we are. I don't like saying this to you. I don't. But I'm simply telling you what Jesus said. He said it, not me. I didn't make it up. It's in the passage of Scripture that Rick read to you just a moment again. Pick it up and read it. He said, a disciple puts him above family, above self. Jesus is number one above everything else in your life if you are a disciple. Then he said, you must be willing to carry your cross if you would be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Remember what I said when I was defining disciple. A disciple is a learner, a pupil, who learns by following the example of his teacher. Do you remember what Jesus did? He drug that huge, heavy cross on his very own back to Calvary's hillside so that he could die to redeem sinners like us, so he could set us free. And from that cross, hanging there in personal agony and pain, our Master said, Father, forgive them. Now, hard as it may be, that is the example of our teacher. And if you would be his disciple, you must lay down your life for those who would willingly kill you on a cross, and while they're slaying you, you must pray the words Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them. You want to know what? That is one heavy cross to carry. I get so tired of hearing Christians who claim to be disciples, but who forget the prayer that Jesus prayed in his agony when something happens to them. When someone hurts you, if you are a disciple, you will automatically pray the words of Jesus from the cross. Father, forgive them. Forgive them. To be a disciple, you must carry the cross to Calvary. You must willingly forgive those who persecute you because he did. You must carry the cross. That's what it costs, folks, to be a disciple. Jesus above everything else. A willingness to carry that heavy burden to Calvary, to lay down your life to set others free, even those who would kill you, while you pray to God, forgive them. That's what it cost. Now, in the passage read to you this morning, after Jesus said all that, issuing a call to all who would follow him to become his disciples, not with anything hidden now, but with our eyes wide open because Jesus told us what it's going to cost. Having done all that, he told those who were listening to him three cute, wonderful little stories. Story number one, about a guy who was building a tower. Now, the tower is a protection device. It's in the middle of a vineyard. It's built up so he can tell that if somebody comes to raid his vineyard. He builds a tower. Jesus said, nobody, no sensible human being is going to start building a tower unless he sat down first and said, the cost of the tower is going to be this much, okay, and I can afford to do it. Because if he starts to build the tower and he's unable to complete it because he didn't plan it through, because he didn't consider the cost, if he does that, everybody's going to laugh at him because he's going to have a half-finished tower. What good is that? Jesus' point, count the cost. If you think you want to be Jesus' disciple, consider the cost. Count the cost. The second story was about a king who was going to war. And he had to sit down, Jesus said, and consider whether he with 10,000 men could defeat the other king who's coming at him with 20,000. And if he resolved that his army was not strong enough to beat an army twice the size, he needed to go to the other king and sue for peace before he got close, because he was going to lose the war if he didn't count the cost. So what Jesus is saying is, if you think you want to be a disciple more than a believer, you better sit down and count the cost. And then story number three, my favorite of the three, was about salt, which has lost its saltiness. Now, you know that's impossible. If sodium chloride, salt, is really salt, it cannot cease to be what it is. It can't. So if you think you have sodium, Jesus is so clever. If you think you have sodium chloride and you taste it and all of a sudden it doesn't taste salty, you never really had sodium chloride. You had a salt substitute. Okay? Now, any of you use that salt substitute stuff? You know, you got high blood pressure. Okay, get excited about things. The doctor will tell you to use a salt substitute. Okay, it doesn't do the same thing to you because it's not really salt. Now, you ready for this? Jesus was saying, if you got what you think is a disciple, looks like one, smells like one, walks like one, and talks like one, you look at it and you say, disciple. But all of a sudden, for whatever reason, it ceases to act, walk, talk, and smell like a disciple. What you know is you never had one in the first place. What you had was a disciple substitute. A person who never really counted the cost of following Jesus, and who was eventually confronted with the cost. He or she could not have what they really wanted and keep Jesus first. There was some other priority that took precedence over Jesus in their life. They were unwilling to carry the cross, the burden which Jesus laid on their shoulders. They came up against the cost of being a disciple, and they surrendered. Like the guy who was building the tower, they forgot to count the cost. Like the king going to war, they forgot to count the cost. When they saw something more attractive than Jesus, the priority shifted. And they gave up Jesus for what they wanted. Now, these are Jesus' words, not mine. Jesus said that such a one, who was really never a disciple, but just a disciple substitute, was good for nothing. Such a one should be thrown out with the trash. Those are the words of the Lord. So, said Jesus, before you start the journey, count the cost. Now, you may well be sitting there saying to yourself, considering all of this, who would want to be a disciple of Jesus? And you would be right in asking such a question. For being a disciple of Jesus is no small thing. It is a lifelong commitment. You will walk forward in it sometimes, and sometimes you will fall backwards because you are weak and not strong. But you must be resolved that you will follow Jesus all the days of your life. I have decided that I will follow Jesus. I must follow Jesus. I have made a lifelong commitment to follow Jesus. And on our own, There is not one of us present in this place strong enough to keep the commitment we have had. Every disciple falls short of his high calling, short of becoming completely like our Master. We must be empowered by the Holy Spirit to become disciples of Jesus Christ. Did you hear what I said? We must be empowered by the Holy Spirit to become disciples of Jesus Christ. It's Acts chapter 1, verse 8. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will receive power, said Jesus. Power to be my witnesses, except in Greek, the word is not witnesses. Sorry. The word in Greek is martyrs. When the Holy Spirit comes on us, He gives us power to willingly die for Jesus Christ. And it is only in the power of the Holy Spirit that we can keep our commitment to become disciples of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to do what Jesus calls us to do. So, folks, the word for today is mathetes, disciple. And the question for the day is, are you a disciple of Jesus, or are you just a believer? As I said earlier, all disciples are believers, but not all believers are disciples. If all you want is enough Jesus to get you into heaven, fine. Be a believer. But being a disciple requires more. Only you can answer the question of the day, and you can only answer it for you. When you count the cost, you see how much it costs from Jesus' own mouth, how much it cost to be Jesus' disciples. You really do kind of wonder why, don't you? Why would anybody choose to be the disciple of Jesus if the cost is that high? But when down deep inside, you know how deeply He loves you and how much He willingly paid for your salvation, oh my, it shakes you to the core. And you can't be content anymore to just believe. When you really understand what Jesus did, in your heart you say, yes, Lord. Yes. I'll pay it. I want to be your disciple, Lord. Send the Holy Spirit to empower and if you do it, He will. And you'll discover that the cost is nothing compared to the glory. You will willingly surrender all.